radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Country artist Aaron Prichette returns to In the Country for his second visit. He was here last February. You know his smash hits and videos for Hold My Beer, Let's Get a Rowdy, Big Wheel, New Frontier, Hellbent for Buffalo, to name just a few. And along with those up-tempo energetic songs, Aaron has proven over his career that he can deliver heartfelt ballads equally as well. You can hear that quality on his brand new radio single, which we'll be sharing on the show today, I Want to Be In It With You. That song is the latest release from his current album, In the Driver's Seat. In a recent blog at his website, Aaron wrote that he's calling 2012 the year of change. And part of that change involves taking acting classes. We're going to hear all about that and a lot more as we welcome Aaron Prichette back to the show. Hey, Aaron.
How you doing, Dave?
Hey, doing just terrific. How about yourself tonight?
Doing really well, actually. At the end of the day here and kind of getting relaxed.
Well, that's great. I know we've got a lot of people tuned in looking forward to hearing some great stories and some fun stories and, of course, a couple of songs from the album. We talked about it last time, but tell us again, In the Driver's Seat is the title of the album, and it refers to how you took a lot of, you didn't say control, but you just sort of oversaw a lot of things to do with the album.
Yeah, I think I was trying to explain it before and saying, you know, I wanted more responsibility in this record, and I wanted to be the person that, you know, I had a lot of control, but I had a ton of other people giving me some insight and some input and that kind of thing going into every aspect of the record. But when it came down to it at the end of the day, I was the most responsible about it with having, you know, if something went wrong, that was my problem, you know. But if it went right, then I could at least say, you know what, as a team, we collectively made this happen and we should all be very proud. But if anything didn't go right, then I could at least put the blame on myself for it.
Now, one of the songs on the album, great one, was written by, of course, Canadian legend Bryan Adams, the song called Drive. How did that song get into your hands?
Actually, it was a few years ago, and my agent, Jim Cressman, was pitching me a few songs, and that was one of them. And when I heard it, I thought, wow, I'd never heard this before. It sounds totally like a Bryan Adams-esque song. And he said, yeah, it's a guy from Australia. He's had the single on radio, did extremely well in Australia, but it hasn't been released over in Canada. So I thought, well, you know what? I held on to it for a little while. And when it came time to record this record, In the Driver's Seat, it was definitely up there with the top 10. And I ended up recording it. And it's turned out to be one of the most fun songs to play live. That's for sure.
Now, I could hear your voice really working well covering his song, Heaven. Had you ever done that song? It just seemed like a good fit.
You know, I've never actually done it live, but it's funny that you say that, because I was a huge Bryan Adams fan when I was, you know, in my teens, and yep. He wasn't much older than me, that's for sure. He's only a few years older than me, but he was an inspiration for me back then, and Heaven was one of my all-time favorite songs from his. But yeah, that's a good suggestion.
And he did, in a recent concert, and I'm sure you've probably done this, and you can let us know, taking a lot of his hits and doing them very acoustically, and even the up-tempo stuff, if it's done just with the guitar and a voice, it just brings something new to the song the songs we all know so well. Do you do that as part of your show, Aaron, at all, the acoustic thing?
Well, I don't with the full band necessarily. Funny enough, you should say that. I'm starting to do something, but it's not the slow songs that typically in a show you'd see, you know, the band would take a break and acoustically either one, two or three piece and play some of the slower songs acoustically. I've actually got something that I'm doing in my show now that's sort of a blast from the past, and it's faster songs that I'm playing acoustically with a few guys in the band. But I do an acoustic show, and I take this out. It's usually, you know, fundraiser events, things like that, where I'll just play guitar by myself. And I love these shows because it gives the audience something different for them to hear from me, because they're so used to this full band, you know, in-your-face sort of rock country show. with Hold My Beer and Let's Get Rowdy, et cetera. But I do this acoustic strip-down show where I get to play all the songs, and I don't lose any of that feel, that fun, upbeat, up-tempo, in-your-face sort of appeal from playing these acoustic shows. But I also get to tell the stories, which is so important to me. And people kind of go, wow, I didn't realize that was, you know, the story behind Hold My Beer or whatever it was. So I love those kinds of shows. But, yeah, I get to play those just acoustically by myself, but not necessarily with the band.
Yeah, I think fans really, well, I know fans love hearing the stories behind the songs, because a lot of times the song becomes a personal one in our lives, a meaningful song or a fun song like Hold My Beer, but it's great to hear how the idea started and where it came from and maybe the twists and turns along the way.
Sure, yeah, and that's the cool thing about these shows, like I said, because a lot of people don't realize that I played clubs for almost 10 years before I even recorded a song and or, you know, a successful single. So I played these clubs, and I would tell some of the stories in my show that, you know, I played for so many years and got so tired of it and just exhausted of it that it got boring, so I'd have to spice it up. And sometimes we'd take a song like Stuck in the Middle with You or Sweet Home Alabama that we'd get requested four or five times a night, and we'd put a twist on it. We'd play it like Metallica would, and it just blow people away. So
that's cool to hear songs that we know, different versions of it, that maybe even countrifying something that is from another genre or vice versa.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's what we have done. We've taken those, you know, Metallica song, and we've made it into a bluegrass sort of tempo. And, man, it actually works sometimes. You've got a crowd that gets, you know, they hear the song and they recognize the song and they look at you funny, and then they love it because you're attempting to do something different.
And you told a great story last time, and maybe I'll have you tell it again for some of the new listeners this time around, for Hold My Beer and your grandmother's reaction to the song, and you weren't sure what she would think about it because of the type of song it is, and tell us, take it from there.
Yeah, it was really funny because when we had written the song, I thought, this is kind of cool. I don't know how, you know, I don't know if it'll get recorded, but it's worth a shot. And the way I knew that it was going to do well was that I did an acoustic show about a week after I got back from Nashville and played Hold My Beer to this crowd. And in the crowd was my grandparents and especially my grandmother. And I thought, well, I don't want to offend her, so I'll try and, you know, slide this one in without her noticing. And then I'll play a few more songs after that. And then I'll go talk to her and see how she felt. And I went up to her after the show and I said, so did you enjoy yourself? She said, oh, honey, you were great. And then she said, and I love that Hold My Beer song. It's amazing. So I thought, well, if my grandmother likes it, I think everybody else is going to like it too.
That's the mark of approval. If it didn't offend her, then it's not going to offend anybody.
Absolutely.
Now, that song's become quite an anthem, as with Let's Get Rowdy. Is it pretty cool to have songs that people sing along to and get in the party mood, you know, right from the first couple of chords?
Yeah, because when I first came out, before even Hold My Beer came out, you had people kind of singing along to songs, and they'd be at the shows because I'd like to put on a high-energy show, and we'd throw a bunch of twists and turns in there. But when Hold My Beer came out, that changed everything, and I went, wow, people love singing along to these songs, and like they're anthems, and like the AC/DCs did, and, you know, all these rock bands from back in the 80s and 90s. I thought, wow, this is sort of infectious like this. I'm going to try writing some more like this. And the Let's Get Rowdies came along, and now Light It Up is another one of those anthems. But the good thing is, too, is that I don't just get, oh, play that song, play Hold My Beer, play Let's Get Rowdy. People in the crowd are excited to hear The New Frontiers, Big Wheels, and now I Want to Be In It With You is probably one of the most requested songs of mine.
It's a beautiful song. We're going to get to that one in just a few moments.
Sure.
The songs that you write, like Hold My Beer and Let's Get Rowdy, I can definitely hear like Montgomery Gentry, that kind of people, you know, artists doing the song. Do you ever write songs for other artists? Can't recall if we talked about it last time, but Aaron, do you think in terms of outside of yourself and, hey, this song might fit this particular artist?
Yeah, I think when I first started actually going down to Nashville and doing a bunch of writing, and I mostly wrote for myself, but I started thinking that when we would write songs, like especially with Derek Rutan or Willie Mack or anybody like that, you sit there and you go, wow, this song would actually be suited for Montgomery Gentry or Brooks and Dunn or Big and Rich or Alan Jackson. You can you can separate the sounds and the songs. But for some reason, I've always found a way to make them mine, I guess you could say. So I haven't really written with anybody else in mind necessarily until recently. I've actually started working with a few female artists, one from BC and one from Ontario, and been writing songs at home and finding that I'm writing for them, you know, as opposed to just myself like I've always done. So this is pretty cool. I think this is a really neat aspect for me of changing not only the way I try and write songs in a male country genre, but now it's going to the female aspect as well. And I think hopefully we'll have a few hits on our hands in the next couple of years with a couple of these females.
That sounds exciting. The song we're going to turn to, we mentioned it a moment ago, I Want to Be In It With You. I know there's a great story behind how that title came about and the inspiration for it. You want to share that, and then we'll let people hear the song.
Absolutely, yeah. My son is 7 years old at the time. Imagine this. We're driving along in the truck, and he's sitting in the back, and every now and then this would happen for about a year straight. He would just blurt out, you know, I think you should write a song called this, or, you know, you should write a song called whatever. My crayons are red and blue. And just, it would just be random. You know, most of the time it would just be cute, you know, kid cute. Yeah. But then he one day came up with this title, and he said, you should write a song called I Want to Be In It With You. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting, actually. And and then I just kind of asked him why, and he said, well, it's because you're always away, and I wish, you know, I could be with you all the time, and I wish I could be with you when you're out on, you know, on tour. And I thought, wow, that's pretty wild, pretty impacting. So when I got together with Willie Mack, I said, don't hold this against me, but my seven-year-old actually came up with the title for the song. So, you know, if you don't want to write it, I'm not going to be offended. And Willie heard the title as well, and he said, you know, let's write this. It's kind of writing its own song, you know, already. So we wrote
the
song.
It's such a great hook.
It is a really great hook, and you didn't even know it at the time. Yeah, it was really, really tough to believe a seven-year-old could just come up with this idea. But and then recently, so we recorded the song, and it's probably my favorite song on the whole record. I mean, I have a couple of favorites, but this one is overall probably my most favorite song. But Willie Mack and I decided, you know what, let's cut Mason in on some points. So we've given them a little percentage off of the record and off of the single. So anything that the album makes, he's going to make a few bucks all to go towards his schooling for the future. So we've already got it.
Cool.
He could be the youngest SoCan member ever. Only 9 years
no
old.
No doubt.
Yeah,
I bet he's going to have some more songs in him in the future. Has he been giving you more ideas or thinking about it more?
Yeah, he does every now and then, and I've got a list of them on my phone, as a matter of fact. I put down all the phrases that I come up with, but also the phrases that he comes up with or song titles. And I think his is about five or six in there already. So Willie actually sent me an email the other day and said, hey, by the way, if Mason has any more titles, please let me know.
That's great. Let's share it now. It's the brand new radio release from Aaron Prichette, and it's a perfect one as we lead up to Valentine's Day, not too far from now. I Want to Be In It With You here on In the Country.
When you're throwing wishes at the stars and singing along with the radio in your car, I want to be the one singing every song with you. When your favorite movie's on again, there's only one person you can watch it with. I want to be the leading man that your heart runs to. When you close your eyes and dream, tell me what you see. Who's standing there right by your side? Gets to get lost in your eyes. Hold your hand, put a smile on your perfect face. Who gets to carry you away every single day when that picture that you picture comes true? I wanna be in it with you. Sunset. standing there right by your side. Gets to get lost in your eyes. Hold your hand, put a smile on that perfect pretty face. Who gets to carry you away every single day when that picture that you picture comes true? I wanna be in it with you. I wanna be in it with you. I wanna be in it with you. Every minute I wanna be in it with you.
The brand new radio single from Aaron Prichette, that is called I Wanna Be In It With You, from his current album, In the Driver's Seat. Man, that sure sounds good, and I love the way you sing the word you and the title of it. It just got a really great effect.
Thank you very much. Yeah, that was definitely one of the harder songs to sing in the studio, I can guarantee you that. But it sure turned out really pretty. And, you know, a side story as well is a good friend of mine, Mike Norman, who produced a few different albums for me in the past, is also a keyboard player, is also a co-writer, co-wrote Lucky For Me with me, as well as a few other songs that made different records. But he was in the studio, and he was really frail. He was suffering from cancer really, really, really badly, but he was still in the studio, and he's still working really, really hard. And I asked him to put together a string arrangement for that track. And he did. He got it sent off and had the strings done. And the day he sent it to Tom McKillop, who produced my record, the day he produced, or he had sent it to Tom, he passed away. And it was that morning, as a matter of fact. He had sent it to us and later that afternoon. So not only that song, but the entire album is a real tribute to Mike. And every time I hear that song, it just kind of gets me all welled up. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, no doubt. It is a beautiful song. We've got another song with a lot of meaning behind it as well, Coming Clean, and we'll get the story on that a bit later in the show. But that's a great song as well from
Thank
the album.
You.
Let's talk about the Year of Change. I read this on your blog at your website the other day, Aaron, aaron-prichette.com. The Year of Change, and some of it involves acting, and just tell us all about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody says, oh, this year is going to be a new year for me. I'm going to, you know, make resolutions, et cetera. And I think a lot of people normally want to, and some end up doing it, but not everybody does. And I think this year for me, I just said, you know, I'm going to change things around. I'm going to make sure that I treat everything a little different than I did last year, you know, and whatever way that is, it remains to be seen. But there are particular things that I've always wanted to do, and I've never really fully pursued them. I wanted to be an actor when I was, you know, 12. I wanted to
Right.
be in movies and be in TV shows and commercials and things like that, and I never pursued it. And I ended up being a singer, which isn't horrible, but nonetheless, yep. I want to, you know, officially be that actor on the screens. So I'm going to pursue some acting lessons later this year, and then get that ball rolling after all the touring goes on. I'm going to actually settle down and see if I can get myself a gig, maybe doing some, I don't know, maybe I'll be on a lottery commercial or something. Win the commercial lottery.
It's so cool, the possibilities, because there are some great Canadian TV shows, you know, if we're assuming that's where you'd be starting.
Yep.
And, you know, there'd be great roles on there.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's shows like Heartland, which are great
yeah.
country-based shows even. But regardless of that, I want to be able to spread out as much as possible. And there are many shows. And actually, to be honest, my favorite show right now is Mr. D with Jerry D. And he's a really funny guy. He's a big hockey fan and plays hockey himself. So I'm a fan
yeah.
of that. But his show is extremely funny. And I'm talking to him on Twitter saying, hey, I want a part on your show when I get some acting
awesome.
Lessons here.
So your ideal role, if you could choose one or write one, would it fall in that kind of area, the comedy area? Would you like to be like a leading man or say like a detective or a police officer kind of show?
You know what? I'd like to do all of the above, to be honest with you. I don't think I would want to just limit myself to only comedy. I'd like to be able to do some serious roles as well. But for anybody who knows me, they know that I'm kind of crazy. I'm a little zany. I'm always trying to make people laugh. So ultimately, comedy is my thing. And to bring Mason back into the fold, my son who came up with the song title, his aspirations in life, now that he's, you know, a successful songwriter, he's already accomplished that at nine. He's honestly said, I want to be a hockey player, a comedic actor, and a massage therapist all at once. So he has sort of the same aspirations as me, except I don't have any aspirations to be a massage therapist whatsoever.
Yeah, that could be hard work. That could be a little tricky. I don't know.
Yeah, might be. But, you know, I guess if you're on a gig or, you're playing a hockey game, you don't want to be giving your teammates a massage in the middle of the game.
No. But it's sounds like he's got some great aspirations and obviously following in the creative family vibe there. On the subject of duets, we'll just sort of move over to that. I've asked you before about duets, but is there anybody that comes to mind that might be a little kind of a daring duet? There's the obvious ones when we say, okay, that would work well with your voice, but anybody you think might be a little kind of a dangerous thing to do, but that might work because of that?
Well, I mean, it's the obvious ones that you instantly think dangerous would be somebody like a Lady Gaga.
I would
love to be able to do that. Yeah, if that was ever possible, that'd be definitely one of my all-time favorite things to do is to have a duet with Lady Gaga. Obviously, Katy Perry, I wouldn't mind that at all. She's pretty and an amazing voice and all that kind of stuff. But other than that, I mean, there's probably lots of different Zooey Deschanel. Yeah, that's right. That's somebody that I really, really liked. She was in, I first saw her in a movie called Elf with Will Ferrell and fell in love with her voice. Yeah. So if there was ever a possibility, I think Zooey Deschanel would be awesome too.
Yeah. I think I know her. Was she also in a movie with Jim Carrey, Yes Man?
I believe so, yes. Yeah, I think so. And
she's
also got a new show called That Girl. I think it's called That Girl or New Girl. That's what it's called, New Girl.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Very cool. What about other genres? Maybe not just something that's a different duet partner, but any attempts at other genres or just in the back of your mind? Different style?
For female duet partner?
Let's say just for you, like big band tunes or little jazz.
Yeah, I'm a huge, I became a huge fan of Harry Connick Jr. back in the early 90s. And, you know, subsequently fell in love with a lot of music from Frank Sinatra and, you know, the whole Rat Pack group and Mel Torme and all those guys. And then obviously Bublé came on the scene and blew everything out of the water. I remember playing when I was doing the clubs in Vancouver, the country clubs, he was playing a place called Bubba Lou and was there 5-6 nights a week, you know, playing up on stage, doing his thing that he's doing now. And a guy named Bruce Allen found him, who's also management for Bryan Adams and Anne Murray and Jan Arden, many, many artists. And he kind of took him and said, Michael, I'm going to make you a star. And here he is, an international star. And if I could ever sing another genre of music, I think that would probably be it, to be honest.
Very cool. Now, Aaron, what would you say to somebody out there? I've had this question before. Listeners, you know, want to know from artists. For somebody starting out there, maybe they're playing clubs now, writing songs, and they want to take it to the next level, maybe get some attention from a producer or a manager. Well, what is somebody in that position? What are some good steps to do?
First of all, take up acting. No, I'm just kidding. I would say, you know, don't focus too much on playing clubs. Clubs, if you have aspirations of recording and becoming, you know, a quote unquote star, you would want to play the clubs for a little while to sort of, I guess, get your chops is what we call, right? And that's just learning the ropes of actually singing and performing and entertaining people. I think that's very important, but don't make it too long, not a 10-year period like I did. And then other than that, I think it's just a matter of meeting people and not necessarily jumping at the first chance that's there with somebody who says they want to record you. Just be cautious all the time about who you're dealing with and how you're dealing with them. And then other than that, it's all about songwriting, really. And if you can be a songwriter and performing your own material to people from a stage, then that's your best case scenario. And just persevere, no matter who says, you know, any indifference that they have towards you and your performance or what it may be. But if you believe in yourself, then others will soon believe in you as well.
You really do need to have that confidence, don't you? Because you can listen to opinions from, you know, some people who might say you're not good enough or you're not this, you're not that, but then somebody else might say you're great. So you've got to, you know, you can't listen to everybody. Ultimately, if you believe in yourself, as you said, you know, other people will believe in you too. You can't listen to every criticism out there.
No. No, and it kind of goes both ways, because if you're going to get criticism from people who don't want you to succeed, it's not that you don't have the talent sometimes. It's the fact that other people just don't, you know, they don't want to see you succeed. So you just got to look at it sort of from that perspective. And then the other way is that, you know, you've got friends and family telling you you're absolutely amazing when, you know, when people in the industry might give you the real, the
right.
real goods. And that kind of hurts as well to hear that, but it's only going to make you better. That's what I think. You're going to take that constructive criticism and either go with it or, you know, you might not get as far as you want to.
That's so true. There is a place for that constructive criticism, because you can learn from it. You don't want to hear only the good stuff. You just got to take it all with a grain of salt, I guess, and put it to work. Yeah, let's turn to the a single that you released a while back last year, Coming Clean. And it's a different kind of song. It's not it's not a love song. It's not a party song. There's a real deep thing going on in this song. Can you tell us about the song, Aaron?
Yeah, it was written by myself, Willie Mack, and Jesse Shirk, who's new to the songwriting industry. And the three of us got together and wrote this the song that Jesse actually came up with the idea for. And yeah, it's definitely one of those songs that's it pushes the envelope. It's never been spoken of or talked about before or sung about. And we felt that this was a topic that just sort of needed attention in a positive way. And I think that ultimately this is, you know, it as much as it sounds kind of, I don't know, almost a taboo subject, it really is trying to press the fact that, you know, coming clean is the best thing to do, even if you still feel dirty from it, from the fact of whatever it was that you did that made you feel so bad, or from hiding it. So, it's definitely, it met critics with, you know, a bit of six of one, half dozen of the other, you know, you have to admit. But I'm proud of the song. I love the song, and I think it's done fairly well for what subject it brought out in country music. And it was definitely taboo, but a lot of people really seem to love it. And it's also got sort of an upbeat tempo, which was unexpected for it. So I like it.
That's right. Yeah, I love the hook and the fact that it's not, you know, saying coming clean and the person feels great. There's some honesty to it, the real life stuff.
Yeah,
it's not always a great feeling.
No, it's something, you know, again, it's taboo. It's something that most people don't want to talk about. And, you know, so I respect that from people that may not have liked the song, but I think it was also a subject that needed to be spoken of and talked about.
Let's share the song now. We'll come back and talk about some more. This is Aaron Burchette. It's from his album, In the Driver's Seat. The song is called Coming Clean, here on In the Country.
I finally decided late last night I had to get some laundry off my mind. The weight of the world on my shoulder, so I told her what I'd worked so hard to hide. It seemed like a good idea at the time. And why?
There's Aaron Prichette, Coming Clean on In the Country. That is from his album In the Driver's Seat, full of great songs, and you can purchase that at iTunes. And you can visit Aaron's site at aaron-prichette.com. I've got a fun question file here in our remaining moments, Aaron. Just a couple of questions,
sure.
Just a little bit outside of music, but fun. Traveling, anywhere in the world you could go, where would you like to head to, maybe that you haven't been yet?
Oh man, you know, there's many places. I've only flown into Europe. I've never actually spent any time on the ground there, sadly. So I think my next spot that I'd really, really like to go to is probably Spain, south of Spain, also Scotland, into anywhere in the UK, the United Kingdom, Scotland,
very cool.
Ireland, Britain. I never really had much of an inkling to go there before. Until I looked into my ancestry a little further and saw that my grandmother was from Scotland, from Edinburgh. So that's definitely a place I'd like to go. But also, like I said, south of Spain, south of France, all over Europe would be great.
Awesome. Now, if you were to win $1 million or be handed $1 million for whatever reason, what would your first purchase be? What's at the top of your list with that kind of money?
My first purchase? Good question. That's a really good question. I would have to take a lot of thought, to be honest with you. I've never even really pondered the idea of winning $1 million right off the bat, to be honest. But I might invest in a Tim Hortons franchise somewhere. That might be really, really good. That's pretty much a guarantee you're gonna print money, so yeah, something like that would be great. Or a boat. Maybe a boat. I'll take you out on a boat with me, okay, Dave? How do you like that?
Let's go with a boat. Boat's a good answer.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll go out boating, and you can get a good one for that money. A decade you could live in, other than the one now. Of course, you lived through the 80s, the 90s, you know, decades. Which one would you like to go back to for just a little bit and enjoy everything that it offers?
I would probably have to go with about the 40s. I think the music back in the 40s was just really starting to take an amazing turn. The pop world, as much as they didn't believe that they were pop back then, they were the popular music with the, you know, the Sinatras, et cetera. But I think just the general vibe of the world seemed to be, you know, post-war after, say, the early 40s. I think it was really thriving and definitely an era that I'd love to go back to.
That is a great answer. Several questions there from the fun question file. We're going to get to wrap up in a couple of minutes. Aaron, a message for your fans out there who are listening online.
First of all, thank you very much for following me in my career over the last, well, I guess it's been almost 20 years, to be honest with you. Without fans, there is no Aaron Prichette, there's no Paul Brandt, there's no George Cannon, there's no Tara Oram. So from myself, on behalf of all of Canadian country music artists in particular, thank you very much.
Appreciate the time once again. Great to catch up with you again, Aaron, and hear about some of the things happening this year with the acting. We'll keep posted on that. And, of course, we'll continue to listen to the album In the Driver's Seat. All the best with the new single as well. I Want to Be In It With You, and our listeners will encourage them to request it through local
Thanks,
station.
Dude.
Thanks so much, Aaron.
I really, really appreciate it. Anytime.
We'll do this again for sure in the future. I always look forward to it. My guest today has been country artist Aaron Prichette. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.